Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Rigid Roosters podcast. My name is Cody.
I'm Heather.
Nice to see you again. We are back in person again for the second week in a row.
What?
This is so exciting. Today is going to be kind of a heavy one, just so that you are aware. It may not be all the way heavy, but there will be some heavy parts. So beware while listening, just in case you do react negatively to those heavy emotions. Just know that they're coming. I'll try to give a little warning before we get into those sections, but, you know, that may not happen. So just in the interest of your own mental health, just be aware that this could get a little heavy. So with that, baby, how's your head right now?
Right now, it's pretty good. There's some things that are always in the back of my head swimming around, but I'm trying not to breathe a lot of life into them so that I can work through them and eventually snuff them out. But I think I'm mentally, I'm doing a little better than I had been for a good minute there. So yeah, good. That's what I got.
Okay.
What about you?
Well, I am, I'm stressed. I'm, worried. I am anxious. I've got it all going on right now. Had a really, really good weekend where I got to have a lot of fun. I got to relax. And then first thing this morning, it was, you know, life hits you like a fucking truck. And that's where I'm at now. So I won't go into too many details on what exactly is going on, but it's stressful. It's stress coupled with anxiety, coupled with frustration, coupled with all of it. A little bit of disappointment thrown in there. It's not fun, so that's where my head's at right now. Not a great place to be at the moment, but it is what it is. So staying on top of my medicine, trying to make sure that that is not an added factor in what I got going on, and right now it's not. So that's where we are.
Yep. So I think that is a good opening part for us to go into. Again, we're tying in the ethical slut. And one of the quotes that they say from there is, if you're not taking care of yourself, you can't take care of your relationships. That's kind of big.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, you know that I can take care of everybody all day, every day, and I don't worry about myself. And then it's you that has to worry for me, or at least be like, you have to stop. Mm-hmm. And then I got to stop and reset.
Because you do, you overload your plate. But real quick, as a side note, before we get going, I want you to take that microphone and just tip it up a little bit. I want you to be talking more like into the side of it. There you go. Perfect.
Okay.
But no, you do. You overload your plate where it's so full that you don't really have a lot of time for yourself.
But I enjoy everything I'm doing, so I don't mind doing it.
That's great, but the self-care is important. Taking time for yourself to not be just mom. And to not be a football mom, to not be a Girl Scout mom, taking time to just be you is very, very important. And right now, you don't get a lot of time to do that.
I think that is unfair to say because, as we've mentioned in prior episodes, that I am out on the apps and I've been on several dates or whatever. So I feel like that's me taking time, even if it's only in a 2-hour increment. Like, I feel like that's where it's like, I can't say that I feel like I'm always plate heavy. Is that what you said? What am I trying?
Your plate is overloaded.
Yeah. I don't feel like that all the time, but that's because I just enjoy being on the go and being a part of what the kids get to be a part of. And, yeah. I had kind of a crap mom. But one of the biggest things she always told us growing up, and then hated the fact that I was doing it, taking her advice as a grown up, mm-hmm. is to not ever let myself just be kiddo's mom or your wife,
right.
or, you know, just this, like, don't lose a part of who you are or me, you know, because you're going to burn out if you don't. So it's really hard for me to find burnout. And I guess that's where you come in and can see where I'm not seeing it, because it's just what I do. That's always how I've been in my head. I don't know how to explain it. It's, to me, I am doing that.
Yeah.
By taking care of others, by getting to go out to lunch with you or anybody else that is involved. And I don't know. So I don't have, I love the quote. It speaks to me it speaks to me like hardcore. But what's your take on that quote?
I think that burnout can definitely affect you, especially in the lifestyle. It can hit you pretty hard. And that's why, whenever we first got into this, I tried to be real heavy into responding to everyone all the time. I tried to be present for everyone at all times, and I couldn't. You have much higher of a tolerance for that than I do. I get burnout very quickly on expending my social battery. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I only have so much that I can take, and I try to do it where, like, we go to parties and stuff like that. That's great. I can do that. But as far as adding in a bunch of stuff on the outside of that, that's where I get tired, and that's where I get stressed, and that's where I get burnout. Also, in terms of, like, our health as a couple, you have your own individual mental health, but the couple, you and your partner are going to have your couple's mental health as well.
Yeah.
If one of us is going through burnout, it's going to affect that negatively, and
keep talking. I'm
that's
sure.
where,
keep talking.
So I don't know if y'all could hear, but, we have kids and dogs playing pretty hardcore in the background. So Heather's going to shut the door real quick so that we can't hear that. But anyways, back to what I was saying, if one of you is going through burnout, it's going to negatively affect the mental health of your relationship, right? It's going to put one of you in a negative space, and that puts both of you in a negative space because, and I'm going to kind of generalize here, but when Heather is in a bad place, it puts me in a bad place, right? Because I want to take care of her. I want to make sure everything is better, and I want to take that on if I can, right? I want to take that away from her. And she does the same for me. So when you're feeling burnout, that is depression, that's anxiety, that's I've got to get away from what I've got going on in order to find something better. And it can, those feelings being put onto your partner can jeopardize the mental health of your relationship. So
yeah,
that's, I kind of got a little bit sidetracked there, but
no, I think that's fair. I mean, again, I don't really see the burnout that you're talking about, but I know that because I am able to give so much of that, and I try to make sure that the multiple situationships or flirtationships are getting,
I will say I have never seen you burnt out. I don't think I've ever witnessed it happen with you. It definitely happens with me. It's happening with me right now. But as far as you with your relationships, with anything that you've got going on, I don't know that I have ever witnessed you being burned out. So if you were, you hide it very well.
Well, thanks. I don't think I'm hiding anything again, so I feel like
That's why I said if you were.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying if you were.
I'm sure there are. I'm sure there are breaking points where I don't want to be talked to. I don't want to be touched.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever knowingly experienced burnout?
I don't know if I can answer that, honestly. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I have been on the go since I was a kid.
Right. But can you think back to a point in your life where you were just burnt out? You needed just a couple of days to not do anything, to just get away from what you had going on?
I hate that we're having some dead silence, but I don't. Can you are you asking because you're thinking of a time?
I'm asking because you may be feeling it, you just don't know it.
Well, then maybe I don't need to know it. I don't know. No, I can't think of a time that I mean, I know that there are times when we're out, when I am playing mom at an event, and there are people there that can get under my skin. I know I need to take breaks from them, and I found out that I can do that without having to call them on what's being annoying. Mm-hmm. So that's me stepping away. So
I think really that's just agitation. So I'll explain burnout to you. It's almost a dread of having to do something, right? For me, it's I know what is coming this week, right? Or I think I know what's coming this week. I don't want to go do it. It's not something that I am willing to bring myself to do. And it's that feeling of knowing that, hey, I've got to go to work and I've got to do this, but it weighing so heavy on your soul, that's burnout, right? It's you've been doing something for so long that now, instead of being excited to go do it, now it just gnaws at you. And it can cause depression. It certainly causes anxiety.
Okay, so I guess it's the days that, unless I have something that I'm doing for a person, or like I'm making for school or scouts or any of it, maybe my burnout is shown when I completely disassociate and just hardcore go into whatever craft I'm doing, whether it be making shirts or...
Well, and I do think that's the way that you control your own mental health, is you dive into projects, you dive into extracurriculars with the kids, you dive into everything you possibly can to fill every minute of every day, so that you are busy, you are kept moving, you're kept energetic, you're kept all of these things, to where you don't really have time to feel burnout. You don't really have time to take that second to say, man, I don't really want to go do this. You know what I mean? Because it's do it, or, you know, the kids don't get to go do this thing, or do it, or, you know, this craft doesn't get done and I want to either sell it or give it to this group of people, you mm-hmm. know? So I think that's one way that you manage yourself, is by okay. keeping yourself so busy.
And I don't know if anybody else would, I'm sure there are some therapists out here that are like, girl, that's not it. But I mean, God, I would have to actually like hardcore sit down and think, because that's just been my life forever. I mean, growing up the way I did, you know, we were at different houses, you know, different stepdads. I've been involved in basketball since I was in third grade. Like, mm-hmm. that's, I don't know if that's when on the go happened and stayed with me. But I mean, I can remember third grade when we started basketball, we were always doing something, always practicing at school. So maybe it's been a coping mechanism this whole time and I just have never realized it. Yeah. But I think along with what you're saying, I do think that is cathartic for me, and it helps me maintain not just being busy, but the crafting is what I'm talking about. And or any of the projects that I get excited about and start doing. But as of late, within this last year, I have been, I think we talked about it, I've been journaling a little bit more. Started as one thing where it was like, track your tears. That way you can look back and figure out what was happening, and you can pinpoint more of it to, instead of it just being sad or whatever, you can say like, oh, this made me insecure, and that's where that came from. Mm-hmm. So I did that, and I mean, it helped. I'm not saying it was a bad idea, but I also don't cry just a whole lot either. Yeah. So, and then when I would go back and read it, to me, I kind of understand where the therapist was going with the assignment, right? But I'm, I didn't like reading it. Like, I mean, not because there was anything wrong, but it just felt like it made everything feel sad. It made it look like my journal was dark and dreary, and you know, like right. You didn't get to, I understand that I was writing the yuck out of my head. But it's not, the yuck isn't what makes me up.
Have you been keeping up with your journal since we talked last week?
So not with the crit. So I quit with the right. That one.
But have you been putting in, because we talked last week about adding in the happy moments as well as the sad moments. Like, we got to recognize the good with the bad, right?
I haven't. It's really hard for me to free journal or to free write. Yeah. I know you mentioned you didn't, like, I had found that app. And you weren't responsive or as responsive to the prompts that worked for me. I have since then quit using that thing, and I have gone back to pen and paper. But it's more like that goes along with the tarot pool that I do every day, and then I journal about like where my head's at with that or what it could be in relation to. So I guess I
want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how. Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Not really like... No, I don't think I put pen to paper about the good days, unless you count. We're out. I took pictures. I post them on Facebook, and that's me cataloging that.
So I want to talk about something you said real quick. You said you don't like going back through and reading it, and that's the purpose of journaling, right? It's not for you to enjoy going back through and reading it. It's so that you can look at it and say, what triggered this? What caused me to be... to have this feeling, you know?
Yeah. No, again, that's what, I mean, that was the point.
Right.
It just, I didn't feel like it was doing, I've never been an Eeyore.
Yeah.
I'm Winnie the Pooh. I'm Tigger. Like, you know, for reference sakes, like that's so reading it to me was me focusing. I understand what you're saying. The emotions behind whatever I was crying about. I get it. I totally understood the assignment, but that's just an, it just made me feel like a gray cloud.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to lean into the fact that not only you and our closest friends have, you know, Sunshine Sparkle or their Sunshine Girl or, you know, I am sunshiny. I am happy. I am bubbly. Mm-hmm. So seeing just yucky emotions again, I understand the thought behind it. I understand that I was writing to get it out of my head. But it didn't sit with me after having like, I don't know, a month full of different times. It's probably like what would have added up. So probably 30 entries over like a 2.5 month span. Because again, yes, things get tough. Things, you know, like Cody, you mentioned being stressed and everything that's happening right now. I mean, those are worries I have too. But I also know that I can't focus on that because I want to be your partner, help lift you up. I still got two kids, and then we've got Hales and little Niecy here. And little Niecy loves me like, loves me like our kids do. And I guess I like, it's not that I'm ignoring it or sweeping it under the rug or trying to let you hold it all. It's that I know I can't control that part of what's happening, but I can control taking care of the kids, making sure that they're good, checking in with you, letting you talk and just vent everything out. So I don't know. No, yes and no. I have done the daily tarot pools, journaled about that. I have not sat down and been like, today was da 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 da, and here was my happy moment, and here was my sad moment, or whatever. And I know I'm making fun of that, and if that's you, I'm so sorry. It's not what I'm trying to do. It's just that has not ever been a journal style that works for me.
Yeah, and that's totally fine. I mean, my way of coping with my mental health stuff is not going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
Your way doesn't work for me, right? I can't keep myself busy 24/7. It wears me the fuck out. Like, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can, right? And you do in order to help keep yourself up, right?
But I also don't, like, the way you keep saying it, I don't feel like I'm doing that to keep myself up.
Maybe I'm phrasing it wrong. You're doing it and you keep yourself up with that, right? It's not to keep yourself up, but because you are on the go so much, you're constantly doing things. You're feeling the sense of accomplishment from the crafts. You're feeling pride watching the kids at sports. You're feeling happy whenever they succeed at something, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're feeling happy whenever people enjoy something that you've made, right? So you are feeling all of these positive feelings, and it does keep you elevated,
mm-hmm,
because of that, right? So I'm not saying that you do that in order to feel that. I'm just saying that's a result of it, right? You keep yourself going like that, and that's what happens. You feel up because of it. And like, I can get that way too if I stay busy, but there has to be a point where I just say, okay, I've had enough, and I've got to sit for a little while. I've just got to be with me for just a little bit. You know what I mean?
No, I totally get that. And I know there are times where I'm like, I can say, I know you're not going to be mad, but don't be mad that I'm going to take a nap, or today is just a bluff day for me, or whatever the situation is. So there are days that I take those kind of moments because maybe I didn't sleep well, or maybe it is because something had went on and I'm in the thick of it at that point. But I have found that going too long without being busy or without general public, that can put me into a spiral.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's actually proven. You know, you need human interaction, or else you do end up going a little crazy, you know? And I think that just kind of, that kind of proves what I was saying a while ago, is you don't keep yourself busy to feel that way, because you do recognize and you do take the time to say, hey, I just need to relax today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take that time for yourself, and you let me know whenever you're having those days and whenever you need to take that time. So that's very important to be able to take care of yourself like that. One thing that I like to do with the journaling, and I need to get better about doing it, but one thing that I enjoy about it is that it allows me to see my triggers, right? So for the audience, we'll explain another time that triggers are, there's something that causes your brain space to change, right? A trigger is something that makes you feel happy, sad, angry, all of these emotions. Something, someone, that makes you feel that way. It could be a sunny day outside makes you feel happy. That's great. That's a trigger for happiness. A certain song brings back a memory and makes you feel sad. That's a trigger for that, right? So journaling allows us to feel those triggers. Now, it's very important, and I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, it's very important to be able to manage your triggers, right? Because no one else is going to do it for you.
Yep.
You have to recognize what's going to set you off and what's not. So I explained a little bit about this the other day, and fair warning, this is the dark part of the episode we're about to get into. One of my triggers is suicide in movies, TVs, even songs can kind of make me feel that way, but it's suicide. And the reason being for that is because there was a time in my life where I was right on the edge, and I'll explain more about that here in just a second. It'll make sense. So we watched a movie that was called, The Woman in the Yard, and the entire movie, I kind of understood it about halfway through the movie. The monster or the villain in the movie is depression and suicidal thoughts.
Oh, I remember this movie now.
So there was a point at the end of the movie where, the main character, she sits down in a chair and she's got a rifle and she puts the barrel of the rifle in her mouth. And you don't see anything happen, but then the next scene is her with her children, and she's in this mirror universe. And Heather took that to mean that, you know, she had beat it. She had put the rifle down and she'd beat it.
Which is wild, because Cody's going to tell you what he saw. And the fact that it was so worlds different. Yeah. I mean, it.
Well, and it's because I think it's because I've been there.
Yeah.
Is one of the main reasons that I recognized, or that I saw it the way that I did. But I looked at the mirror universe, and I looked at her kids who, you know, we thought were dead in the movie. And in that moment, it wasn't me seeing the movie. It was, when it happened to me, it was with a Taurus 9mm. It was a PT-237 9mm pistol. On the front of that pistol, on the barrel, or on the slide, actually, there are three grooves cut into the front of that slide. And I can feel them going across my teeth. And that was all that I could picture whenever I saw that part in that movie. And that was what created that just visceral reaction where I couldn't watch. I couldn't talk. All that I could really do was lay curled up in a ball and say I don't like it. And it was because I could feel that scrape across my teeth. And I remembered exactly what it felt like. I've been there, and I know what takes me there. And I have to be very careful about what I allow into my brain space. Otherwise, I go back. And I don't ever want to be back there. That's a very dark place. It's a place that, at the time, whenever it happened, I didn't see escape from. And, you know, it was even before, I think it was before you and I had met, is when it happened. It's been a long, long time ago. But the fact that I can still feel that feeling is just, it's evidence of how much that is concreted into my brain, you know. And one of the reasons that we want to talk about these things, these really dark, heavy things, is because we want to let you know that it does get better. It gets light years better. And I still have days that are dark, right? I still have days like today. I'm not having a very good day today. I'm not in a real good brain space. I'm just not in a good place. But at the end of the day, I know that I will never go back to that place again, because I never want to feel that feeling again. To do that, I have to manage my triggers. I have to manage what sets me into that space. So, like I just mentioned, it's, for me, it's watching movies, TV shows, or listening to songs about suicide. For instance, Whiskey Lullaby by Brad Paisley. Mm-hmm. That one is an interesting trigger for me. And I brought this up for a reason, because it puts me into a place where I'm open to feeling, right? Instead of just sending me into the dark, like if I watch it in a movie or a TV, it sends me into that dark place. Mm-hmm. But if I listen to that song and I really feel the words, it opens me up to feeling a lot of things. And that's one of the things that I will do in order to kind of, if I'm having a bad day like today, or if I'm just kind of in a really depressed mood or something like that, I'll listen to that song and just be able to sit and feel the words. I'll be able to feel the feelings that the characters in the song are going through. And it actually helps, right? So the same trigger in two different mediums can be something completely different.
Yes.
You know? So I've talked a lot. Explain.
No, I talked a whole lot before then.
Well, it's just I...
Well, this... Okay, listen. I will pipe in when I need to pipe in, mm-hmm. but... Because I think you have dealt with it more than I have, you've been excited about breaking into this episode for a long time.
Yeah. I've been excited about it, and I've been kind of terrified of it too.
Sure.
Because I...
Two edges of the sword.
Yeah. It's, talking about this stuff is tough. It really is. It's something that kind of gets me emotional every time, because say I had gone through with it then, I would never have got to meet our kids. I would never have the experiences that I have now.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about that, I know people that have done it. I know people that have reached the end of their ability to take things, and they've ended it. And you know, you always hear people saying, you know, I don't know how they could do this. I didn't see it. I didn't see the signs. And the biggest thing is, you have to talk to your people. You have to check on your people, and you've got to know that sometimes people are going to go through some stuff and they're never going to let you know about it. But if you will really try and break through and talk to people and really pay attention to their mannerisms, especially if they're your loved ones, pay attention to their mannerisms and know when something is deeply off, because that's when you have got to step in and you have got to say, hey, let's talk.
On that same note, again, being in the different situations that we're talking about, we also have to find ways to manage our own emotions and what's happening on the inside without putting them onto somebody else. Not in like a blamey way, but it's just like it's so, it's got you all twisted up. It's anxious. It's this, it's that. And then continually being like, but what about this? Or are you mad about this? Or I can tell this is different for you. And you're like, at least I'm like, I'm okay. And I don't know how to say I'm okay in all the ways you're asking without sounding like a bitch, but like, it's not me that is experiencing something right now. How can I help you? How can we break through?
Well, and you just said it right there. Like that's going to be sometimes a cry for help. That's going to be sometimes, hey, I'm feeling this, but I don't necessarily want to recognize that I'm feeling it. So I feel like you're feeling it.
Yeah. Right?
And that's a situation where you need to sit down and you need to have a talk, you know? And I know I've done that to you in the past where I have been feeling something and I didn't even know I was feeling it until a few days later. And then I'm like, man, I was a pain in the ass to be around, you know?
I mean, it's not so much like you were a pain in the ass. It's just, they were big emotions, or they have been, big emotions before. And I know you're not doing it out of malice. For me, that is me turning around, because the last time that I'm thinking of, I mean, it took me 2 days of saying, I don't know what's wrong, because it's not me that has something going on. And not that we got off into a standoff shouting match, but at the same time, like, we weren't shouting and yelling and talking over each other, but it was like we were both saying the same thing and couldn't get out of that loop. Mm. Because there was issues, you know, you talk about those, but there were issues happening, and literally had been asked, like, over a 5-day span, are you okay? Tell me what's wrong. I'm here to talk. And without turning bitch until the very last time, where I was like, you have to look, what is wrong with you? What is happening inside of you that is making you do this to me? And I think that time that I'm thinking of specifically was like, I saw it light up in your face that, oh crap, like, what is going on with me? Because,
well, and I know the time you're thinking about, and I'm going to be honest with you, it was a point of resignation is what you saw. It was, okay, well, if she's going to say that it was all her, maybe I need to do a lot of more introspection and figure out what's going on with me. Because I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound bad. It's not an attack on you. This is how you've dealt with things for a long time. You take me asking what is wrong, or me checking in on you like that, you take that as a sign that something is 100% definitely wrong. And in that time, in that instance, absolutely, it was something wrong with me. But there are some times where I'm just checking on you. You know, and
there's a difference, though.
It's important to, when I say to check on your people, it's important to check. And then if they're being honest, and if you know that, you know, they say, yeah, I'm good, everything's fine, they're going to let you help when they need help, right? Especially your loved ones. They're going to let you help when they need help. You can only do what you're allowed to do. So if you check on somebody and they say, yeah, I'm fine, I'm good, then leave it. You know what I mean? I have a tendency to push way too much and way too hard.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to stop you right there. When you were like, if you have done this and they're saying it's fine, just let it go. But that's not always the truth. I mean, so I think there's like a point that has to...
You have to be willing, you have to be able to tell, are they telling the truth or not?
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, with you, I have to take you at your word. If you tell me you're good, you're good. You know, and that's generally going to be the case. If somebody tells you they're good, what other option do you have other than to take them at their word, right? If you're worried, talk to their other friends. Talk to their other family members. Say, hey, have you noticed something happening? Have you noticed this change? Have you noticed XYZ? And maybe you can come to something that way. But when you're checking on people, don't overwhelm them. Don't go in so hard that it feels like an attack, right? And that's what I have a tendency to do. I have a tendency to, you know, hey, are you okay? And if I get, yeah, I'm fine. Are you sure? I feel like something's going on. You know, I just want to make sure that that you're good. I'm here for you and all that. I have a tendency to go too far with it, and I recognize that, and I apologize about it. I have been working to try to be better about that. But yeah, so started off this whole thing with, you got to manage your triggers, right? And when I said that the world is not going to do it for you, that's accurate, right? You can't expect people to change what they're doing or change things that they enjoy just because those things may put you into a mood, may put you into an episode. You have to be willing to say, hey, you know, you guys go do your thing. I'm going to step out for just a little bit, and then we can all meet back together at this time, right? It's that easy. Excuse yourself, take yourself out of that situation where you don't have to worry about it.
No, I get it. It makes sense.
So, what was next on our list here?
So again, we're tying in the book because we want this to continue being educational. We want to expand the knowledge on what is out there, for our fellow Oklahomans or surrounding states that are in red state Bible Belt areas. We're after this episode, and I don't know how long we're at, but you know, if it goes over too much and we have to make it a two-parter, then after next episode, we're about done with the first part of that book. I think I mentioned last week when we talked that we're going to have, after the mental health episodes get finished, that we're going to have kind of some like off weeks, not off weeks like off, but like goofier weeks. Mm-hmm. Because we have gotten such an overwhelming response to wanting more definitions, wanting us to explain it in not just a lifestyle form, but for the vanillas. Vanillas being people that are not in the lifestyle.
Yeah.
That
was a good definition throw in there.
I know. Look at me. So again, it is a heavier episode. It could turn into a heavy two episodes. It really just depends on how far we get. But we are about to conclude. Through this episode, we are going to conclude the last couple of chapters that are parts of the book. And then we'll dive back into it a couple weeks. Who knows? To finish out the ethical slut. Because it is so important. Because it is like the only manual, if you will, for what we're doing. The only thing that gives you kind of guidelines. And I as much as it not suck to read, but it's also not like one of my books that I can really super duper get into. I'd rather talk about it and it break down into what we're doing now. Mm-hmm. So that somebody hopefully either it's enough for them to start reading the book, because we've had a couple of those. But also what am I trying to say?
I'm not 100% sure.
I'm asking that because I forgot where I was going.
Yeah.
But that's what's happening. So we're going to get through these next couple of ones. We're finishing up the volume one or part one of the book, the chapters that we've been through. That moves us on to mental health as individuals and couples. So the tie-in from the book is that there is a chapter on boundaries and contracts. It talks about how different partners need different things. Cody, what's something what's something from you that you need from me that you don't necessarily look for or get from your play partners?
Love.
Okay.
I mean, that the connection that you and I have, I can't get with anybody else, and I need that from you. And it's not really anything that I'd be willing to look at or look for with anybody else, you know?
Okay.
That's the one thing I can think of that I've got to have.
Okay, fair. And this part goes next to it, and it's one of those quotes that, like, you know, hit you, take you for a good ride. But it says, you know, don't try to be everything to everyone. Instead, be clear about what you can and can't give. That's a big deal for me with multiple, I like to say multiple partners. I literally am, it's right now it's just Cody. And here I am trying to defend my slutdom, and I don't have to do that. But here, I'm going to stop where I was going, because it was definitely being like, and I'm sorry for doing this. Whatever. I'm not sorry for anything that I'm doing. And it's cool to be a slut. It's cool to go on dates and meet new people. So scratch that last part of it out. Mm-hmm. And go back to reminding myself, I don't have to be the perfect wife. I don't have to be the perfect girlfriend. I don't have to be the perfect play partner.
You don't have to be your definitions of those, but I'm gonna throw a surprise at you here. You are that for me, right? You are the perfect wife. You're the perfect woman, just by being you. You don't have to do anything extra to be that.
That's just because you love me.
But I mean, that speaks to, we have these visions in our head about what we have to be, right? For me, I've got to be the perfect dad. I've got to be the perfect husband. And I have these visions in my head of what that is, and I fall short of them every time. And that can be really harmful to me. But I've got to keep in mind, I'm a good dad. I'm a good husband, right? I may not be the perfect dad or perfect husband, but I'm a good dad and I'm a good husband. I'm a good man.
Yeah.
You know? And so recognizing that about yourself, even though you may not be hitting these lofty visions of what you think you should be, you're still good. You're still doing the right things, you know?
That's fair. I'm a people pleaser to the end. So that's probably, you're probably spot on with saying you don't have to be what you think is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's that. So that's me with poly partners, or people that, even just like people that I'm throwing on the roster just to have in case of emergency. Because I do have, there is one fella out there that, well, probably two, but I guess one's closer to me than the other, that I know I could call and be like, hey, this is fucking happening, and I need a moment. I need time to forget. I need you to make me forget a while. Obviously, Cody's not home, or that's where I would be going. So this is when that other friend gets tagged in. And granted, we've only done that like four times, but it's turned into the same thing on his part. It sucks because I try to keep my like, okay, I know the kids are good, so I can go spiral out, or, you know, go get effed and recentered and
go
back.
Get effed.
Shut up. And, you know, same thing for here. It's just, I guess it's because boys don't think as much as girls do about timing and all of that. Because I've only been able to go like twice that I was quote unquote needed. But that was just because it was like, I was picking up the kids from school, like, or it's a Girl Scout night. Like, you know, I have Girl Scouts, you know, we're busy. Obviously I can't make that. I don't know where that was going either, but it's good. It's good to have those. I don't know what I was going off of.
I'm not real sure either.
Oh my Lanta. I hate when this happens to me. I know I was asking you about swinging and what that is.
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. That was the next train. Coming up then,
okay.
Was that's me and my poly people, or my partners, because they're not all poly. So me and the people that I am texting, snapping, effing, whatever, encompasses all that.
Yeah.
So that's me with poly. What, like, okay, you and swinging, being more on that track, what does that look like for you?
In terms of what?
Being everything to everyone.
I don't feel like I have to be everything to everyone with,
man, that must
with
be nice.
What I do.
It must be nice.
Well, I mean, the pressure is on when you're performing, right? But other than that, it's not really.
Huh, you just said something that's got a question sparked in my brain. Do you think that's why I need more of a connection to start than you do? Because then it's not quite as, like, performance heavy.
It could be.
Huh. I don't know. We're going to have to soak in on that for a minute because I've never thought about it like that. But
yeah. I mean, for me, you know, it's you talk about all the things that you want to do whenever you finally meet, right? And it's just, it's fun. It's a release. It's kind of a takeaway from the stress of the day. But then when you do meet, it's, you know, hey, I got to make sure that I live up to everything that I was saying, right? I got to make sure that I perform. That's when it can get a little bit stressful.
Okay.
But that's just a me thing. I want to have a good reputation as being somebody that can do that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want
to. Well, you do. Anytime you've serviced somebody, I've always gotten good remarks back.
Yeah,
so
got good reviews.
Yeah. Just know you're hitting the mark on that one.
4 stars on Google.
Yes. 10 but, out of 10 recommend.
Yeah. I mean, I want to, you know, have a good reputation as not as somebody that is just going to text and then, you know, oh, well, I can't do the same thing in person. Like, no, if I'm telling you I'm going to do this to you, I'm going to do this to you. You know
yeah.
what I mean? So that's really the only pressure on my side.
I really am going to do some thinking on that one because I know, just because you said it the way you said it earlier, like my vision of what perfect is. I've been chasing that since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Probably large parts due to some of the crap happening around me. If I was good and perfect and didn't mess up and made the good grades and scored all the points, there wouldn't be yelling. There wouldn't be screaming and fighting. It would be delayed at least because, you know, I won the basketball game or, you know, we won the basketball game or I knocked that test out of the park and like, you can't get me for doing an, you know, earning a 90 and, you know, being, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no, so I get exactly.
Yeah. That's, I think that's so the same thing. If I think on it too much, like the sexy times, those are where my biggest, I guess, insecurities come from is my body. I understand that you appreciate it. I understand that there are others that are vocal about appreciating it, but I'm 5'11 and big, and so.
Well, don't say negative things about yourself, but we never see ourselves as other people see us, because we are chasing a vision of perfection that can't exist, right? It's not something that's possible.
I don't know. I'm pretty close.
Well, you are a goddess.
I'm just kidding.
You're not actually a goddess.
I'm just kidding.
To me, you are, but you're not actually.
You might be smited for that. You better watch it.
But we have this vision of ourselves in our head and of what perfect actually is, and it's different for everybody, but the same thing for everyone is it's always unattainable. We can't be perfect in no way, shape, or form can we be. And that's when we start having the body dysmorphia. We start having the questions of, am I doing the right thing? Am I enough? And that's where we've got to be careful about, do I chase perfection or do I chase being good? You know, and those two are very different. And we've got to not necessarily set realistic goals, but set goals that are attainable, you know. And I had this conversation in terms of like fitness with somebody just the other day. A guy wanted to be, you know, he just hit 185 pounds on bench press and he wants to be at 290 pounds on bench press.
Oh, I remember this,
By the end of the year. And it was one of those deals where like, okay, man, you're on the right track, but that's not,
like,
that's
it's not attainable.
Like if you do that, you're going to hurt yourself. You know what I mean? Well, it's the same thing for us with our visions of perfection, right? If we still chase that perfection, if we chase being, you know, for me, the perfect husband, the perfect dad, the perfect man, it's I'm going to fall short and it's going to hurt me mentally. So I have to set attainable goals for myself. Hey, I want to support my kids in everything that they do. I want to be their loudest cheerleader aside from their mom. You know, I want to support my wife in everything that she does. I want to be her loudest cheerleader 100%. I want to make her feel the way that I see her. And one of these days it's going to happen, you know.
I mean, I know I'm awesome. You and others have built me up enough to know that, like, I do feel that a lot of the time, but...
But body dysmorphia is real.
Yeah. Like,
and I have it too, you know. And especially, you know, the past few weeks, it's been... I've gained 30 pounds now since that surgery. And, yeah, it's probably mostly muscle, but I still see the number on the scale. I still know what that scale says and what it said before.
Yeah.
And in my head, well, now I'm just this fat piece of shit that is unattractive and is all this. And it fucks with me hard. And that's one thing that's really fucking tough to get over. So I understand it completely. We have to be willing to take those compliments, though. We have to be willing to take people at their word, just like we said a while ago. You know, I have to take you at your word when you tell me that you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take me at my word when I tell you you're fucking beautiful.
I mean, I used to get in trouble for accepting those compliments, though.
Because your parents were fucking dumb.
So
that's why.
To me, it was always, I need to be more humble. I should not.
Because your parents were fucking dumb.
So, it's just something I brush off. I mean, I'm trying, and I feel like I've gotten better
at it. You've gotten a lot better at it, for sure. But now, the thing is, well, are you being sarcastic when you say, well, thank you? You know, like, are you just trying to brush me off and get me to shut up, or do you really recognize that you are that, you know?
I think it's a little bit of both, especially since this is my first time, and this could be a whole different episode, so I won't like stay on it long. We started out dipping our toes in, right? You had found a couple play partners. I went on a date, and then the number two date, it was like, oh my gosh, this is it, right? And so I quit. I didn't put myself out there more as a somebody looking for friends with benefits. Mm-hmm. Then that dissolved. And I went on two more dates, like within the 8 months to follow after. I went on two dates, and the second date, it was like, holy crap. Butterflies, hard eyes, like, he reminded me a lot of you. I mean, like, stuff like that, you know? And it was like, this is it. You know, like, I want that. And then that's what's happened here. And so this is the first time in 5 years that I'm actively dating, I guess, in a more friends with benefits capacity. The difference, because I can't remember who it was, somebody asked the other day how what I'm trying to do now is different than what you are wanting, or what you're looking for. And it still boils down to it, because we'll get into the dating apps later. Oh my God.
How does what you are looking for now differ from what I'm looking for?
Okay. Because I focus heavily on the F and FWB. I want...
That's friends.
Oh. FWBs, friends with benefits. Benefits being usually sexual in times. So that's what that is. Thanks, Cody, for reminding me and catching that.
Well, because you said you could get F'd a while ago, and then now you're focusing heavy on the F. And she's not focusing heavy on that F. She's focusing heavy on F for friends.
Yes. I definitely want to. I usually, like, we talk for a couple days, and then if somebody gets brave and is like, do you want to go on this? And it's been, like, cool conversation, or, you know, something pulls me in for me to say yes. This is the first time that I'm actually saying yes instead of no,
mm-hmm.
You know? So I don't really know what I am in it for right now. It's for the connections. It's for, like, the quote unquote roster I have down east. If it happens, awesome. If it doesn't happen, I think you're cool as shit. You know, like, let's keep thinking that.
Well, and you know, what you said is you don't have an answer for what you're in into it for. Don't worry about it. You don't have to have an answer for that question.
I need an answer for everything.
Nobody needs an answer to that question.
I feel like I need to know, because I don't want to lead anybody down the wrong path, because I don't know that my brain or heart is ready to step into something more than friends and physical stuff.
Mm-hmm. But if you need to know it, you'll figure it out. It's not anything. If you don't have the answer right now, that's fine. If you need to know it, you'll figure it out. But it's not an answer that anybody else needs.
I mean, I feel you. I understand what you're saying.
I'd like you to feel me.
Oh my God.
Well, we're running short on time. We're going to have to get out of here pretty quick anyway. So let's split into a 2-part episode.
Dang, we only got through one segment. Yeah. We talk so damn much. Yeah. my Lanta.
With that, I think we got through a lot of the real heavy on this week. And, I hope it didn't bring anybody down too much. Next week will probably be a little bit heavy as well, but hopefully not as bad.
I know next week we'll start in with another book tie-in. Again, since we've talked so much, this is going to be a 2-parter. Mm. So we'll come back with the ethical slut tie-ins. We've got a few definitions from the ethical slut, but how that's going to be different from what we're offering or what we're putting out in a couple weeks is that one will be more encompassing than just what we're doing. Like just the phrases or terms that are listed in the ethical slut. Like somebody's asked about a unicorn. Somebody's mm-hmm. asked what like a male unicorn would be, things like that. So I'm going to probably be nerdy and try to find out some jaunty game that we can do over the podcast to give you those definitions and keep it fun.
I like it.
So I know we've got that definitions thing. I know we're going to talk about mental health and outside partners. And then about sharing stories with one another about our escapades. And we've got some listener Q&As. Mm-hmm. And hopefully I have responses to some of those that I have sent out personally. Because I'm like, you keep asking me, so answer this question. What do you think it is? Or like, whatever. And we'll finish up part one of the ethical slut next time.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Well, guys, keep in mind, like we said last week, we do have another podcast coming soon. I'm working on cover art right now. And then we'll do some recording and get that out to you. Release date TBD. Keep in mind that all of our links are in our episode description, so you can get down in there and send us a message anywhere you'd like to, send us an email, whatever you want to do. Don't forget to rate us 5 stars and leave us a review. You don't have to say anything super flowery or anything. You can tell us your favorite sandwich, tell us what you had for breakfast this morning, what kind of underwear you got on, it don't matter to me.
What position you put me in.
Yeah. Get in there and say whatever you want to. All that does is help feed the algorithms for these apps to get our podcast out to be seen by more people. And again, thank you for listening to the ads. Thank you for participating in those to help kind of drive this podcast a little bit further. We want to eventually make this to where it's something that we can do for more than just fun with each other. So we will we'll see how that goes.
If you heard that big loud bump, it's our freaking kids.
Yep, we're gonna go kick them in the head right now.
I do want to say one thing that made me, I've been wanting to say it since I actually got all the way, like officially toes in the water again, is I mentioned that I have a podcast on my profiles, right? Mm-hmm. There was one person that had matched me or whatever, and then I swiped right on them, mm-hmm. too, so it was like a match where we could start texting one another. It's weird. It smells like the heater.
I think you're going crazy.
Okay. If I start sneezing. No, I'm just kidding. Or this is gasoline. Anyways, he had kind of made a joke, because he'd already been a little bit too forward for us just like matching. I do like forwardness. When it's time, I am literally not going to respond to somebody being like, hey, you're hot. I have a cock. Let's do it. Like, I mean, like that does nothing for me. But this one guy in particular, and it happened again today, not quite as toxic as the other one was trying to be, but it made me laugh. So it was, oh man, your podcast. Does that mean I need to, or that means I'm going to have to act right so that you don't talk about me in your podcast episodes? And I responded with a big smiley face and says, if that's what you need to keep yourself in control, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, go with that as you will. Yeah. I say that to anybody that's out there and curious or has seen the profiles and have gone, because we've had several people that have come from this. You will get talked about. I won't give everybody your names, but there will be a funny story about, I don't know, something crappy you did. or, you know, something you sent that was uncalled for, or, you know, whatever it is. When I said it happened again today, I had a lunch date. And he said almost the same thing, but it was like, oh, well, I'm going to be awesome so that when you talk about me, like, hey, you know, like, I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to feel good. I'm going to soak that up or whatever. So it was like the opposite, but it made me laugh. And I've been wanting to say that because, yes, that's what I'm going to. That's Heather's leave today is don't be a shitty person. Take me on a date. Don't be a shitty person and take Cody on a date. Because we are going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And you're going to know. Because while our listeners will not know that we're talking about somebody that's an HVAC person, somebody that's, you know, whatever person, there's going to be something that you know I'm talking about you. So don't be a douchebag.
Yeah.
Boys and girls, don't be a bitch. Don't be.
But the one today wasn't a douchebag, right?
No, no, no.
Okay.
It was, yeah. I'm excited to see what that one was.
I didn't want him to listen and think that you were calling him a douchebag.
So. No, 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 no. 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 That was a good lunch. Had some yummy tacos. We'll talk more about those later because that's still so brand new that I'm not really interested in going further than that. You. But good lunch. Excited to do lunch again or whatever. So. Back to you. I just wanted, that was a funny thing. Yes, that you have been warned. If you decide to go out with one of us, we do talk about it and we have no problems bringing it here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do communicate. That's a lot of people think we don't for some reason.
Which is
I don't
so
understand
weird.
That. Mm-hmm. But all right, well, guys, we're going to cut it off right there. Until next time, love yourselves because we love you.
Okay, bye.